Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode one of Across the Left on Alt Radio Television, the only official Alt Left radio network in the known universe. I'm being joined by my co-hosts, Jaleel and Shane. This is Shane's first show. Say hello to everybody, Shane.
Hey.
Thank you. Now let's get into the news. Take it away, tall, brown, and Muslim.
All right. First of all, I'm not brown at all. I'm pretty white. Yeah, I'm breaking.
It's okay. No one can tell.
Yeah,
you're a white male.
I think I should pretend to be brown because you know that might give me a lot of privilege.
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, it gives you more victim points.
Yeah, I want to be high up on the ladder in the oppression Olympics because you know.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's how the world works right now. I don't need to be talented.
Yeah, biggest hand in oppression poker.
Yeah, I don't need to be talented at all.
Yeah,
I just say
I'm poor. I'm Muslim. I'm oppressed by these people and these people. Give me some money, a place to live, and a high school diploma, and you know, send me to college on everyone else's dime.
You can throw in some made up gender too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not cisgender at all.
I'm only attracted to lawnmowers or something.
Pansexual lawnmowers. Please respect my sexual preferences.
Or you could be like, I'm a woman stuck in a man's body, but I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, but hey, listen, you Aussie fuck. Please respect my, lawnmower pronouns.
Right.
No, lawnmower kin.
Not all okay, lawnmowers are into men.
I'll call you
mower.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's much better.
Some lawnmowers are attracted to transsexual swimmers.
Yeah.
No.
What is
Bruce Jenner
stereotype.
A runner?
Then that is a known stereotype, but I don't like stereotypes because they are all a social construct, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. Just like gender, which is so important.
Yeah. Everything is a social construct, you know. Making money is a social construct. Politics is a social construct. War is a social construct.
Testosterone and estrogen—that's a social construct too.
Yeah, testosterone is a social.
Brain chemistry—that's a social construct.
Your penis—that's
a social construct too.
Fuck biology, man. Fuck biology.
Yeah, you hear that?
Racist,
like
sexist?
Hundreds of years of scientific advance. Fuck you, I feel like a woman.
Exactly. What's the big thing now? It's they're against Eurocentric science or something?
Oh, yeah. Decolonize your mind. Decolonize
yeah,
your mind.
Exactly.
Do you remember that one bitch who was like, there is this tribe in Zambia who can call lightning. It's like, did we discover the ancient Lord of the Sith? You know, is there like Senator Palpatine hiding out in the Zambian desert, fucking teaching natives how to use force lightning?
Yeah, I think one day he's going to rise up and take over the known planet. Anyways, Shane.
So Mike Pence, huh? You know, how's that
Mike
having Mike Pence for president?
Fucking red. He looks
how does it feel having you know Mike Pence for a president? Because you know it's not gonna be Trump. It's gonna be a Trump puppet with Pence's hand up his ass.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Have you noticed that Mike Pence looks like Red Skull from Captain America?
I was. I think so, yeah. I suppose someone could throw red paint on him and it'd probably complete. Now that I imagine, like you know, the PETA protests when they run up to people with fur coats and throw paint on them, I reckon if someone did that to Mike Pence, he would look like Red Skull.
Maybe, yeah.
Exactly. Now that I picture it in my head, that's going to be the thumbnail for this show, is like Mike Pence tinted red.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, Mike Pence should go to a feminist protest where, you know, they put red paint on their face, and, you know, if he does that, maybe he'll
show his... Mike Pence should participate in a slut walk.
Exactly, he should.
get out there in lace panties and a bra and some 4-inch heels.
That LGBT dance party outside his house last night, though, or two nights ago, I don't know.
He should have joined. He should have been like, that would have totally fucked him, though. You know, he gone out there like a really bad job of dressing up as a woman to like a comical extreme, and just go out there and dance with everyone, and they'd all leave because they'd be like, oh shit, he likes this. Fuck, what are we gonna do? You know, and they'll clear out. They'll never see him again.
Exactly. Anyway, so let's jump into our main topic for the day. The fucking regressive left strikes again, and the protests happened yesterday.
Regressive left strikes again.
Yes, the regressive left is a force to be reckoned with nowadays, I think. Anyway, so this struck again yesterday, and what do you know? The peaceful liberals, what did they do? They burned up a fucking limousine.
That image is on the show right here.
Yeah, but like, how fucking is democratic of them to burn up a limousine?
That's smash the windows of a Starbucks and...
Yeah, so Shane, it's your home.
You know, their favorite place, like, Starbucks.
Yeah, because, you know, I think we discussed this on the last episode of Mandatory, that, you know, they said... when Hillary wins, Trump is just going to have to accept the election results.
Yeah.
And then when the election results came out and they weren't for Hillary, they were like, we're not accepting the election results. Yeah. He's a fraud.
You can't make it up. The jokes write themselves.
You can't. Yeah. It's like I think starting a political like a politically incorrect podcast in 2017 is going to be the easiest job ever.
Yeah,
exactly.
The pendulum is swinging back the other way. Definitely,
exactly.
The jokes just write themselves. We have a fucking clown for a president.
Yeah, and we talked about Geert Wilders yesterday. You know, the guy with the fucking manifesto.
Are you familiar with? Are you familiar with Geert? Well, you watched the last show, didn't you, Shane?
I did.
Yeah, cool.
Are you familiar with Geert Wilders?
I am familiar with Geert Wilders, and I kind of hope he wins, actually. I disagree with you guys there.
That'll be interesting.
Because I want the Netherlands out of the EU.
No, don't you remember what... Don't you remember what I said? He has my support if he builds a wall around Switzerland.
Yeah, and he makes the Afghanis pay for it.
The Netherlands. The Netherlands.
Yeah, the Netherlands, and make the Afghanis pay for it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You know what? I'm also planning to build a wall around Pakistan, and I'm going to make the Vietnamese
just by
pay
yourself.
For it.
Just by yourself.
Yeah, no.
Just get out with the bricks. Make the Vietnamese.
The Iranians are going to build it. And the Vietnamese are going to pay for it.
Of course.
Yeah, this sounds like a fucking plan. Sounds like a fun plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so Shane, this was in your home country. Yeah. First of all, tell us what you think about your new president. Let's be honest, he is a fucking joke.
I don't totally accept that. I hope that he's I hope he does a good job.
Yeah, I
think that's everyone's hope.
We all hope that.
But what do you think? Hope in one hand, shit in the other. See which one, fills up first, right?
Right.
Exactly. And which one you're going to have to swallow. So what do you think?
Which one's going to get thrown at Martin Shkreli?
Yeah, Martin Shkreli, yeah. The fuckface. Anyways, so, we're all hoping that he's a good president for the whole world. You know, he gets rid of ISIS. He mends his relationships with Russia. But what do you, Shane, personally think he's going to do in the first 100 days?
Well, I do think that we're going to see some serious progress on whether we're repealing Obamacare or we're replacing it or we're amending it. I think that's going to be a big thing in the first 100 days.
They've already passed the resolution.
I think the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, was absolutely disgraceful, but it was a Republican plan to begin with. It paled in comparison to what Obama wanted to do, what he could have done. Continue on with your thoughts on that, Shane.
What he should have done, that's universal health care for all.
Well, absolutely. I'm sure you all saw the photo that Donald Trump took with, I don't remember his name, but outside Trump Tower, and you could see the guy had come to meet with him about building the wall on the border, because you could zoom in and read the papers he was holding. You guys see that picture? Like, early on after he
won.
What
did he offer?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was that he met with, but the photo that was taken of them together, you could zoom in on the papers the guy was holding. You could read that he was talking about building the wall on the border. I think that will be a thing in the first 100 days. I think the wall might actually start. A lot of people don't think he's going to follow through with that. I think he might.
Here's my problem with the wall.
I think he's going to break ground on the wall. I don't think he's going to finish it.
Yeah, here's my problem with the wall. You see, the southern border of the United States is a very rough territory. It's not all plains, is right?
So, well, that's a good thing.
How is he going to build?
Why build a wall across a mountain? You have a mountain. Mountain is the wall.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a good point, but there are places in which it's totally ineffectual to build a wall. Like, who's gonna hike across like 300 miles of desert? Some exactly. People might.
Well, some do.
Some people might, of course.
Many.
Some people put themselves in suitcases too.
And building a wall over the surface is ineffectual too, because how many underground tunnels are there just going straight from Mexico into the US?
Yeah, I gotta wonder how deep the wall is gonna go though, because it has to have some support, and I wonder how deep people can dig over there. I don't know anything about digging tunnels, with shovels.
And I wonder what kind of wall is it gonna be? Like, is it gonna be 4 foot tall or 50?
Well,
like, you do know every time
some point it got 10 feet higher, so we're gonna have to say it's at least 11 feet tall.
It's at least 11. So Trump's 11.
I don't think that's a bit that's big enough. I mean, if you're going to build a wall, just go with 50 feet.
That's a bit high too. I'd say 20 feet is a good height.
I say 500 feet. Just buy all of the clay in North America and just turn it into bricks for a wall.
Just buy the Great Wall of China and have that shipped over here.
Yeah, just translocate the Great Wall of China. Just Great Wall of America, yeah.
I mean, it's not like we can't do that. I mean, the London Bridge relocated.
It's not like that's totally... I think it would probably be pretty impossible to relocate the Great Wall of China.
Well, I mean, like, you could take it apart.
There's that advantage that China is going to be paying for it, and they're going to be the ones making it.
Yeah, and then it won't have been the Mexicans who paid for it. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, exactly. But coming back to the protests, what I think is that these protesters are a threat to democracy.
Yeah,
I think their conscientious objectors to democracy. I mean, they're protesting the democratically elected president.
Exactly.
Half of them probably aren't even really democratic. They run around waving their hammer and sickle.
Honestly, how many of them do you think voted? Probably not enough.
None of them, probably. Well, not very many.
How many of these were just like, I bet they were just like, you know what, Hillary's got it in the bag. I'm going to stay home come election day. And too many people thought that, and now we have President Donald Trump.
Right.
And did you see the DNC leaks that showed that the DNC tried to sabotage the campaign of Bernie Sanders?
Oh, of course. Yeah. That was I was in on the ground floor of that so fast. Like I thought it was disgraceful too, and I thought it was not only disgraceful, but it was foolish. I mean, the DNC had a good chance with Bernie, and they shot themselves in the foot. They could have ridden to success on the wings of the Phoenix. You know, of the burning phoenix, get it burn. But they just, you know, they were like, we're gonna bring in our you know, self-elected candidate, the one who was just like, you know what, I want to be president. And she was in bed with Big Oil, and you know, there were all these scandals, she had so much political baggage that she was just totally unelectable.
And yeah, then but they you said, don't understand. You know, it was her turn.
We're just gonna set all of our support behind her and totally ignore this candidate who was energizing to his base. He was interesting to young people. People actually wanted to vote for him. People saw hope in Bernie Sanders, and they were just like, you know what, we're gonna pick our reptilian lizard monster who no one wants to vote for, and it's no one's fault but their own that they lost.
I mean, that's why 13 million Americans voted for him. Because they were sick and tired of Hillary Clinton and the establishment Democrats and all that.
Establishment politics, status quo.
Yeah, she didn't really run a very positive campaign either.
No,
it wasn't all hope and change like Obama was. No, she was constant. It was just Trump bashing and stuff.
Yeah, but neither of the campaigns did run like that. Like, they were all, you know, don't worry about the good things I'm gonna do. Just talk about the bad things my opponent's gonna do if they win. And I think that was both of their major strategies pretty much from the get-go. I don't think many nice things were said. You know, like,
Trump was all, I'm going to make it great again, you know.
Yeah,
at least Trump promised some form of well, benefit out of his presidency.
Was just like at you know, at least I'm not Trump.
Right.
That was.
Trump's
major selling point was at least I'm not Hillary, but he had some catchy phrases to go along with that, you know.
I'd say that was his major selling point for half the people who voted for him in the general election, and maybe 25% of the people who voted for him in the primaries.
Yeah, Trump, at least he's not a corporate shill.
Right.
You know, and for all we know, Trump may very well be a corporate shill. You know, he's made it this far. You know, what's to stop him from being further corrupted by money? Like you don't become a billionaire by not wanting money. Like, if someone offered him a substantial enough bribe, I think he'd probably take it.
Exactly. That's what I think as well, and especially with Putin. I mean, I don't believe that the Kremlin was behind the election, but I think what they're doing now is they're just giving Putin the chance to attack America whenever he wants.
They're giving Putin a fair shot at running America, I reckon. Because, you know, Trump and Putin are such buddies.
That's what they're trying to do.
If Putin wants to get in on this, you know, he probably can. Just be like, hey, buddy, can you, you know, help me out with this? It'll be like, you know, I'll give you 400 Russia land fun bucks to buy a new wife with, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see how it goes down between Russia and the U.S. I don't totally buy the whole Trump is in Putin's pocket thing, because that was just Hillary Clinton rhetoric on the campaign trail.
I don't think Trump's in Putin's pocket. I don't think he's in his pocket either. They're certainly buddies. Like Trump, like Putin's word means more to Trump than probably most people's would, is what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And during his 60-minute interview with Charlie Rose, he did say that Putin is a strong leader. And he is a strong leader, but he is a dictator after all. He's an authoritarian figure.
Yeah, he is.
And
what does he do? He switches, like when his presidential term is over, he becomes the chancellor, then he becomes the president again.
Yeah.
Like, he started off with president, then he became the prime minister, then he won again and became the prime minister, then someone else won the election, and then again he became the prime minister.
Yeah, and that's what I always liked about Putin. Like, he's just got that country locked down. Like Putin could be a dock worker, you know, and he'd still be controlling the country. You know, someone else could be the public face of the nation, and he'd still be running it from the shadows. You know,
all those years in the KGB, paid off.
What do you think his main goal for America will be? To Trump, if that is the case.
But what do you think Trump's main goal for America is?
Anti-populism and anti-immigration, anti-globalism.
I think it's to turn America upside down and to shake its collective pockets until all the money falls out. That's my opinion.
Exactly. You know, I don't think that he's going to leave the Federal Reserve with a surplus or by reducing the budget. I think that a surplus
This is like Trump talks a big game, but this is same old, same old. This is like rank corporatism. This is like, you know, Trump. Have you seen Trump's cabinet picks? Like, Jesus, like, who's who's going to be the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. Like, he's exactly.
What's his experience?
He used to be the CEO of ExxonMobil. Yeah, of ExxonMobil. Like, oh my god, could you have picked a more reprehensible human being?
Exactly, like, exactly. That's what his, I think as well.
His pick for Secretary of State could have been Darth Vader, and it probably would have been better than Rex Tillerson.
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, well, I kind of expected this outcome because, you know, he's a billionaire. I expect him to hang out with billionaires, and I expect him to appoint people he knows. He's
got billionaire buddies.
Right.
And, of course, nepotism plays a part. Like, he wants to put certain members of his family in his cabinet.
Well, JFK and, did the same thing. I don't think that's necessarily bad, but... Yeah.
And did you hear? Did you hear? I don't know. He gave Jared Kushner a job at the White House.
Sorry, Jalil, but like I think, you know, the Kennedys were a brand of politics. You know, like the Kennedys were all they were a very close family. They were very politically minded. Each one had a good head on their shoulders, and they were. If you elected a Kennedy, you were going to get a Kennedy presidency, and like you knew what that meant.
I almost think Trump is kind of trying to brand their president, their family like that.
Exactly.
But I don't think Trump is a brand of politics because he's never been in politics. He's never brought his sons up that way. His sons are all like business guys like him. Right. You know, and his wives have by and large been barely able to speak English. And his youngest son is like 12. So I don't think the Trumps are a brand of politics.
Well,
of course not. And I think that his most recent son, Baron. It's going to be the one who's going to run in the election again after Daddy Trump.
Baron Trump when he's God Emperor in 2040.
When he's old enough, you know, he's like when he's old enough to run, he's gonna run on like, you know, my father was Donald Trump.
And, you know, Shay's grandson is running.
He's gonna recycle the Make America Great Again, and maybe he'll even recycle Drain the Swamp, you know, and he'll get everybody excited, and he'll be just like his dad.
Exactly. But I still feel optimistic about Trump. You know,
I honestly think he'll do really good with the economy.
I was feeling optimistic until about November 10th, and then he started revealing who he wanted for his cabinet, and I was like, no, this isn't happening. This is going to be the same old shit, the same just boring lard that we've, like, the same smelly dump that we've come to expect from these people. You know, exactly. And it's going to be the same old shit. It's going to be corporate hobnobbing. It's going to be Trump shoveling money to his buddies and deregulating things to, like, Rex Tillerson is the Secretary of State. Like, do you think he's not going to use that power to deregulate things to make himself richer?
Of course he will. And, is going to be in cahoots with the oil pipelines in Norway, Saudi Arabia.
And I think it's also just disgusting that Trump is totally ignoring climate change, totally ignoring global warming. He's probably not gonna, you know, do anything about all these rank carbon emissions. You know, he's gonna like all because, you know, all his corporate buddies, you know, as I said, are getting cabinet posts now. So it's going to be like, yeah, let's everybody, you know, get in here and just destroy the planet because, you know, this quarter's profit margin.
Well, I agree. There something has to be done environmentally at some point. But other than that, I say deregulate away. It's kind of it's what small businesses need. And really what we've seen is recently, at least, is big businesses, big companies, big corporations, they like to employ the use of regulations to kill competition more than they like to employ the use of deregulating.
Well, in that case, I don't think they should employ blanket regulations like that. Like, let's not tax a business with 20 employees at the same rate as a business with 20,000 employees. Like, that's just bullshit, you know? There's you know, because I had this debate some months ago when it was still... Bernie Sanders was still up in the air as a presidential candidate, and people said, like, okay, if Bernie Sanders becomes president, what's going to happen about the wage? Because he wants to raise, you know, he wanted to raise minimum wages to $15 an hour. And everybody said, well, like, what's that going to do to all the small businesses? It's like, well, we don't necessarily have to do that for the small businesses, you know. Of course, a business with like two owners and three or four employees might not be able to afford that much, but on the offhand, it would not put a dent in McDonald's profit margin to improve their minimum wage to $15. So, you know, that's one reason to look at, you know, scalability. Like, large corporations that pay, like Walmart, you know, they're infamous for this. They have such a massive profit margin and pay their workers so little that were they to double the pay of all the people in their employ, they would lose almost nothing in profits.
Yeah, I can see that.
Exactly, but I think if you look at opinion polls, 34% of the United States think of Trump as.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I think, I'm sorry.
My mother came in and I had to talk to her. Cool. Where was I?
Opinion polls.
30-something percent of Americans.
Yeah, 30% of Americans view Trump favorably. Only 30%.
I've seen polls that say it was 52% yesterday and then 56% after the inaugural speech, but I'm not sure the source of those polls. I'll have to check. What was the source of your poll?
I heard it on Secular Talk.
Well, that's Secular Talk, so...
Yeah, but Kyle Kalinske prides himself on being factual. He has never been wrong.
I wouldn't say he's never wrong, but he's never... I don't believe he's ever knowingly lied to his audience unless someone can find an example of that.
That's what I think is it.
I found where he found that. So Rasmussen says that 38% of people currently strongly approve of Trump. And the rest of that 56% number is just like, you know, light support.
Just passing, like not that he's great, but that he's okay.
You know, yeah, like I'd rather hope he does good than hate him already.
Support. I hope he does good. You know, that's
So do I. I think of Trump. I have nothing against the guy. I I'm not a sore loser who says that, you know, he does. I hope he does well. I hope he does well. I hope he's like, he surprises us like Reagan did. But, you know,
well, it's in the entire country's best interest for him to do well. So, you know, I think we should hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But I think his policies are not going to matter as much as the policies of his cabinet and his Congress and his Senate. They are his biggest enemies. And they are going to pass legislation that include things that he does not approve of, especially the extra aid to Israel.
Trump's biggest enemy is the mostly traditional Republican House, like the GOP. You know, that, yeah, they ran Trump, but they're not...
Yeah, the old Tea Partiers.
They're not big fans of Trump. They're not real big fans of Trump, you know, they... And Trump does have some pretty liberal positions, and I think those are going to get, like... Those are going to get steamrolled. You know, every time Trump brings forth, you know, I want to do this, I want to do this, they're going to say, nope.
Yeah, because the Congress is going to.
Trump, the president can suggest new laws, but he can't just pass them. You know, the House has to agree to it, and the House fucking hates him, and the House fucking despises him.
Yeah, well, one thing that's I really want to see is congressional term limits, but I'm not sure if he can get congressional term limits, and
you shouldn't be able to go straight from Congress, like you shouldn't be able to go straight from congressman to lobbyist or straight from lobbyist to congressman.
Yeah, and that's what draining the swamp is about. But I'm not sure if that will be possible.
No, it's so obvious at this point that Trump just does not believe in that. He absolutely, that drain the swamp bit was total pandering, and he's not going to do anything about it. The swamp is as stinky and as mud-filled as it was before. That's what Rex Tillerson's for.
By that,
well, yeah, I just want the career politicians out. I don't, Rex Tillerson, he's not a part of the swamp yet, in my opinion. I'll have to see how he performs.
He'll fill it up with toxic sludge as quickly as breathing. So I think it's about the same.
By the way, let's move on to our next story, which is what happened with Milo Yiannopoulos and Martin Shkreli.
I haven't really heard this. So.
Yeah, so what happened, why don't you explain to Shane what's going
UCLA.
On there?
Sounds right.
I think it was UCLA yes. and Milo and Shkreli.
It was, yes.
It was, right? So, Shkreli and Milo wanted to give a speech there. So, the college Republicans had... organized this speech. They paid for everything, and Milo had paid for bodyguards and everything as well. However, what happened was that the students blocked the way into the hall.
Can you repeat that? Sorry, I didn't get a good.
Yeah. So what happened was that Milo Yiannopoulos and Martin Shkreli were banned from the campus because there was a lot of protests going on. And UCLA, yep. You know, they are an SJW college. So they didn't want to trigger an SJW hotbed.
Well, yeah, most of the colleges and most of the universities in the US, you know, Mos Eisley, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. I'm making a lot of Star Wars references today. I don't know what's up with that.
I suppose because
when I watched the inauguration during Trump's speech, the Imperial March was just playing in my head on loop. So Yiannopoulos and Shkreli were both banned from UCLA.
Shkreli.
I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on Shkreli, because I've been waiting for a few days now to talk about Shkreli.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give my thoughts on that fucker. I sure will. Anyway, but there was a large protest.
Please talk shit. I welcome you to take over the show for a bit, Shane, you talk shit about Martin Shkreli.
Trust me, Nate, I'm going to talk shit. Anyways, so the protesters, they just stopped them from going in, and both of them being, especially Milo, the whiny little bitches they are, they just went to national television and just told everyone about how their free speech was oppressed and that, you know, free speech is dead and blah, 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 blah.
And, free speech is dead. I think free speech is dying in America because, you know, they have this, you can't say offensive things. And the term offensive is so nebulous that it could mean absolutely anything. And this is why I, as an alt-leftist, are, you know, very, very strongly supportive of freedom of speech and freedom of expression, and that it be totally unabridged and uncurtailed is because the moment there is a precedent, there is a foot in the door. And the less well-defined and less narrow that precedent is, the more it will be abused. Imagine, if you will, if there was a ban on offensive language. To someone who absolutely hates you, everything that you say could be construed as offensive. You know, it's this...
What was the name of that insult in Belgium, which was called get out of that neighborhood, black boy?
I don't know what you're referencing, sorry.
It's something that was written on the, you know, the stone, the vandalized stone. So I just want to ask them, why do they love playing the victim?
Because it gets them sympathy points.
They have no other skills in life.
Yeah, and when you're the victim, you get coddled.
These are people who are regularly working class. But
There is a person I knew who I will not identify, who who is undergoing a gender transition, and they're living pretty comfortably off the government money that they get from that. This person was sponsored by affirmative action movement, like some kind of affirmative action initiative to get more transgender people in university, and they were just there. You go.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's a good thing that someone who's a devout Christian father of four would like his money being spent on, the guy with AIDS and the guy who sells the AIDS medication.
You pay your taxes no matter what, right? You know, what do we all feel about taxes? I didn't really take a read of the room. How do you guys feel about taxation as a concept.
Random what is taxation? Do you mean theft?
I'm completely against.
I was waiting for that. I had this feeling that Shane was going to be the liberal, the libertarian here.
Right.
I don't think that income needs to be disregarded for this. I think one's income should play a major role in how much tax someone pays. So if I make $80,000, my tax should be $800. If you make $600,000, your tax should be $6,000.
Yeah, because it's the same amount out of your pocket. You know,
well,
like
it should be percentage wise. Yeah, I believe in a flat tax. I don't believe in a progressive tax.
I don't really believe in a flat tax because honestly, there are some people far just too poor to afford it. I don't think it needs to be like just based on like just a percentage of your declared income that year. But I think because my country uses income brackets, you know, we have
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Below, like, I think it's like below 35,000, you don't pay tax, and then 36 to 50 is one bracket, and then 50 to 75 is another bracket, and then, you know, 75 to 200. And I think that works.
I don't know if you guys have seen Trump's tax plan, but it's kind of like that.
Can you tell me about Trump's tax plan, Shane?
Okay, so. Yeah. If I remember correctly, if you're a household making under $20,000, you don't have to pay taxes. And
I agree with that.
From there on up, it's slightly progressive. It starts out low and it gets higher the higher your income is. It's an income brackets type tax plan.
I just remembered a point I've been trying to remember the entire show, that one of Donald Trump's major policies is he wants to repeal Common Core in schools. And if he does that, he will be better than his last three predecessors combined, I think.
Yes.
That one act of abolishing Common Core will make him better than his last three predecessors.
Last year, I experienced some Common Core myself, and you know what? This was in a math course that I was taking, the first thing that we were supposed to do on our Common Core math sheet was guess the answer to the question. Literally, just guess.
What was the question?
Any question. You just had to guess the answers. As if guessing in math is somehow gonna teach you anything. Math is not a guessing course. I mean, Common Core is designed by people who aren't in education.
The question 1 + 1. I hope you didn't fail that question.
I'll guess. It's 3.5. You know, it doesn't matter that it was wrong. That was my guess. That was my guess. You know, I guessed it. You said, "Yeah, plus 1 point." Yeah. Give me a sticker. Give me a well done sticker to put on my collar because I'm such a good boy. I hated school from the fucking onset in. I was in public schools my whole life, and my hatred for school started in year two, and it was a very polarizing moment for me. In a short story, I'd used the word witty, you know, as in, you know, a sharp-witted person, and my teacher didn't know that word. And she told me, "You have used a word which does not exist. Go back to your desk and change it." And I said, no, miss, yeah. Witty is a word, I swear. And she said, no, you are wrong. Shut up and go back to your... Like, she probably didn't say it, but she was very forceful. She was like, you know, you're disrespecting me. Go back to your seat. So I went and got a dictionary and showed her. And she, after a very, like, a very begrudged apology, she just... went on like it never happened. And that set the tone for the rest of my schooling career.
Yeah.
You know, I remember just being ahead of my teachers in pretty much everything. And yeah. It was, oh my God. Yeah. Continue, please.
The education system in America is screwed up for so many reasons. In public schools, the teachers cannot variate from what the standards are, no matter what. You have to treat every
individual thing.
Student like a cookie cutter. You know, they're all the same.
Yeah, we have the same thing with some students,
you know.
It does. It fails with most students. And we talked about this on Mandatory. Pretty much the main problem with Common Core is that they teach to the test.
Right.
They drill the information into your head.
There's no critical thinking involved.
Yeah, it's okay, here's the question and here's the answer. Learn the answer so when they ask you the question, you can answer it. And sure, that's fine. But yeah. you have to be taught practical things. First of all, have to be shown how to use it in a real environment, cuz kids will lose interest. Like, people joke about this, like that one kid going, yeah, but you know, but how do we use this in real life? Yeah, shut up, Billy. No, but
really,
that's an important question. Like, how does this affect me? What does Shakespearean literature have to do with me having a job and paying my taxes? And why was how to get a job and pay taxes not taught at my school?
Yes. And then they of course, they go to college and they get into their liberal arts classes and they end up social justice warriors. And
because they weren't
taught how to live life.
Yeah, and they do, like, gender studies, they do racial studies, they do all the, even modern sociology courses are just regressive garbage, like,
How do they think that they're going to get a job off those anyways? Going in, how do they think they're going to get a job off of that? Do they think they're just going to write blog posts and live off of Patreon for the rest of their lives?
Or? I'm going to I'll write My Little Pony fan fictions and people will donate to my Patreon.
They'll write for BuzzFeed.
Yeah,
pile of garbage, you know, I think Trump called them.
No, it's not difficult to write for BuzzFeed. You know, you just have to, like, fart into a mic, kind of listen to it until it resembles a word, and then make up a story about that word.
Right.
You know, it's like Trump. Okay, we'll write something about Trump.
Yes.
So you might let a squeaky one out, like Pence, and they go, "Oh, that sounds like Pence." We'll do a hit piece about how, you know, Mike Pence is a piece of shit. And then, you know, so someone invariably did a big cheek slapping fart that sounded like, and they thought, okay, that sounds like Sinatra, so we'll make something up about that Sinatra chick. You remember that? How CNN said it was Frank Sinatra Jr.'s daughter, I think. And CNN was like, she's not happy that Trump's using a Frank Sinatra song at his inauguration.
Lord.
And she tweeted at them saying, why are you lying? I literally don't care.
It's just blatant. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Martin Shkreli.
So, is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Jalil? We're starting to run a bit short on time here. We've hit the 55-minute mark.
Well, I'd like to throw in my stuff about Martin Shkreli really quick.
Yeah, sure. Get on your time, man.
All right. I'll be as quick as I can. So
no. Take your time. Talk shit, please.
Okay. So Daraprim. That's the controversial drug that Martin Shkreli has raised his prices on. So
and what was that? What was that to cure? It was a treatment for something.
I don't remember. It's a treatment for a serious illness.
It's for AIDS.
Very rare AIDS. Illness. Okay. We'll just say it's for AIDS.
Yeah, it's AIDS. Okay, yeah.
Right. So
everybody's got AIDS.
Daraprim was a $5 million industry for this big pharmaceutical company. And you understand that $5 million is nothing for a big pharmaceutical company.
I was about to say that, like, you read $5 million, and I'm thinking, that's not much for are you sure you got that right?
Right.
That
doesn't, really tiny.
Like,
it's
pennies
just
in the bucket.
Right, they don't need this drug, and they were probably planning on getting rid of it because it was a waste of money. They're not making anything off of it hardly. So Martin Shkreli buys it, and Daraprim is a drug that's becoming less effective in fighting AIDS. So yes. Because it's becoming antibiotic resistant, we're entering that new age, medicine, basically.
Because we've been so aggressive against germs that all the germs have out evolved our countermeasures.
Right.
Exactly.
People are going to be dying of colds in 50 years. So
and I hope at least half of the people who die from the mega evolved super cold, I hope on their deathbed that they finally acknowledge evolution.
Oh, that would be glorious.
So,
and the worst part about that is I don't get to gloat afterwards because they'll be dead.
So Martin Shkreli, buys it.
That's the most. Yeah, Martin Shkreli, continue.
Okay, so Martin Shkreli buys it. He recognizes that Daraprim is not very effective at fighting this drug, and he needs to pay for research into this illness.
Yes.
So that he can better fight it. And to do that, he's got to raise the price. Now, he's raised it, and it cost about $60,000. This is a drug that you only have to take a couple times, and then you never have to take it for the rest of your life. So on average, people have to spend about $60,000 to cure themselves of this disease by paying for this drug after Martin Shkreli raised the prices before it was something much lower. But the thing is, the competitors, the other drugs that people could be taking to fight this disease are that his nearest competitor is $20,000 above. He's still the cheapest to get the drug from.
Yeah.
And the extra money that he's making is going to research on how he can improve the drug. And he doesn't make a whole lot of money off of it. So he's kind of taken the supervillain role that the media has painted him as, and he's just kind of rolling with it.
I think
Milo Yiannopoulos, Martin Shkreli, they're kind of doing the same thing here. You know, Milo Yiannopoulos, he's the dangerous faggot. He's the most fabulous supervillain on the internet. Because that gets
whatever
press.
Whatever shall we do about this dangerous faggot? Oh, yeah, he gets attention.
Right, the it fucking gets press. You don't get press when you're defending yourselves. When you're defending yourself.
Yeah,
you get press when you're embracing the villain.
There's a reason why there are heels in pro wrestling. Because, you know, that you need someone to hate.
Right.
You know, Marilyn Manson often said the devil is the church's best friend. Because without the devil, they wouldn't be afraid of anything.
Right. So I don't know what you guys think. Is it worth him raising the price to do some research, or is it still, should he still keep it cheap? But I think it's definitely an overhyped situation.
I think it'd be I think the sort of situation it is more of a ends justify the means, you know, does it or doesn't it? And that largely, I think, depends on the outcome. Like, if he you know, raises the price of this drug and then finds, you know, through that research funding, a more effective drug that he can sell for a lower price, then have at it. But, you know, at some point, he might have to look at it, okay, and say, you know, I'm charging too much for this. You know, it's 60 grand for a dose. So, you know, he might have to back off if he doesn't find anything, you know, useful.
Right. It's kind of like the winners write history. If he fails to find a better drug, then history's not going to paint him as a very good person.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, history exactly. is not going to remember him favorably for raising that price to 60 grand. But however, if he comes up with a better drug, then he'll of course be remembered favorably.
Yeah, I don't think that he will, because you see, if he wants to put money into R&D, then Turing Pharmaceutical is a very big company, right? And they already have a huge R&D department. So if he wanted to raise the price, then he should have come up with a better excuse. So the thing is that...
Well, that's the reason he bought it, was because the big pharmaceutical companies weren't going to do that.
What I've heard in defense of Shkreli is that he's giving the drug away free to people who don't have insurance. And the people who do have insurance...
I agree with.
The people who do have insurance, they are the ones who are getting their insurance companies to pay $750 per pop to the pharmacy. So it's like he's screwing over the industries while he's taking care of the little man. So if that's true, then
I think Shane can probably agree with me on this one, being the resident libertarian, that I think a little competition is good for any industry and will certainly either drive up, you know, product quality,
yeah, exactly,
or at least drive
exactly.
down prices a little. You know, right. Competition's good in any business setting.
He does understand right. economics, that's for sure.
Yeah, look how rich he's become in such a short time.
Yeah. Okay, so lastly, I want to talk about the regressive left. I want everyone to hear this loud and clear. We do not condone the regressive left. We do not care for them. We do not care if they live or die. We do not care if they starve to death. We do not care if they get tickled by a mouse in their anus.
They
we don't
are
care
our
if they
enemies.
Get...
Classical liberal they... death squads, when?
Yeah.
Classical liberal
we
death squads.
Classical
I support
liberals.
Classical liberal death squads. Kill the alt left. No, wait. Kill the regressive left. Don't kill me.
No,
don't
not
kill
the
me.
Left. Kill the regressive left. Anyway,
kill the regressive left.
If there's anyone who openly claims that he's a regressive left, then I'm willing to give him free helicopter rides. however, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to get off those helicopter rides or not.
I'll
okay,
certainly be
so,
getting off to those helicopter rides. I don't know about you.
Speaking of helicopter
yeah.
rides, I said this earlier, but when we were talking about political name branding, Pinochet's grandson is running.
Oh,
so.
Legend.
What a person.
Fucking legend.
I just want to point out, how much does, like, am I the only person who hears his name as Pinochet?
Yes.
Like, Augusto
like,
Pinochet.
What a name to be so much like penis.
So the Western media loves to portray him as a tyrant, even though the CIA funded him and he was the one who rid Chile of the cancer and the plague of Marxism. Because after Allende came into government in 71, Chile was going into 140% inflation and the country was doomed and there was no hope for the country. But then later on, the opinion polls showed that he had 44% support and he thought that was enough for him to perform a coup d'etat with the help of the CIA, because Allende was funded by the KGB, right? Because he was a socialist and a communist. And there are people who say that his communist regime was much worse than the Soviet Union's communist regime. So Pinochet takes over, and he kills all the communists. He gives them helicopter rights, just, you know, because he's such a nice guy. He gives helicopter rights to even his enemies, and he arrests thousands of communists, and he burns all the communist literature, the communist pacifist and the religious literature. And then he goes on to say that we are not going to rest until we get rid of this plague of Marxism. And he was right.
Because he definitely earned his place as a patron saint of capitalism.
Patron saint of capitalism. Like, he's up there with Ayn Rand and Ron Paul and, you know, all the Reagan and their likes.
He was friends with Reagan, actually. They were friendly with each other.
Stop dropping that coin!
Oh, yeah, come on, man. That's so fucking annoying. That's Nathan, right?
Yes.
No, that's Sean. That's Shane.
No, that was Sean.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sean.
Hey, Sean the Shake.
No, because every time a coin is dropped, I think it's the bloody Aussie who's doing it.
Yes, no, it's not me.
Look, this is the only podcast where the Muslim is not the one creating mishaps.
Yes, it's the I think Shane there might be a little of the Semitic persuasion. Can't leave his money alone. Has to count it. Yeah.
Oive, gotta count my shekels.
Oive, go ahead.
25 shekels.
They know. Shut it down.
Shut it down. They know.
Shut it down. Shut it down.